Welcome to the workshop, The Wisdom of Our Sponsors, Stories My Sponsor Told Me. The idea for this workshop came because I frequently heard people say in meetings and in sharing, I had a sponsor who told me, or I remember my sponsor saying, or something I learned from my sponsor, and it intrigued me about all of the wisdom that's out there that I wanted to know more, and I thought perhaps others would like to learn more. And so that gave birth to this idea and today's workshop. We will hear from 7 speakers: Roberta from California, Sean from North Carolina, Loretta from New Jersey, Wright from Texas, Jane from Victoria, Canada, Joan from Virginia, and Susan from Oakland. After these speakers have had a chance to share their experience, strength, and hope of things their sponsor has told them, we will open it up to everybody who is on the line. Each person will have 3 minutes to share experience, strength, and hope around what their sponsors told them. This is Elaine in Portland, and I'd like to introduce Roberta from California.
Thank you, Elaine. Hi, everybody. I'm Roberta, a compulsive eater from Orange County, California. Just to qualify, my date of abstinence is February 18, 2019. I'm maintaining about a 55-pound weight loss. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. I've been in C-HAL for 13 years. So in regards to the topic of stories my sponsor has told me, my first thought when I thought about that was I've had a couple of different sponsors, certainly in our sister program before I came to C-HAL, and I've been blessed to have the same sponsor for 13 years here in C-HAL. But in my experience with sponsors, one of my sponsors in the sister program, I vividly recall early in recovery, you know, calling every day and leaving my information. And I didn't really know, I had been isolated all my life, and I didn't know how to let somebody else into my life. And so I'm sure that my calls were very stilted, something along, and I don't clearly remember, but probably something along the lines of, hi, this is Roberta, I'm fine. that was probably my message, like day after day for probably a couple months. And eventually, that sponsor that I had literally said to me, I can't take this anymore. I can't be your sponsor anymore. And I was deeply hurt because I thought, I'm not doing this right. On the other hand, I did have another sponsor in that sister program who, when I was working on questions, my inventory question, I came to a very sensitive part, a very shameful part of my past that I shared with her with much fear. And her reaction was loving and kind, and she actually said something to me that had never occurred to me before. And it wasn't particularly profound. It was just like, you know, Roberta, it sounds like how you reacted was very natural. And I said, what do you mean? And she just said, it just seems like that's what we all do. And those words don't mean probably to anybody else what they meant to me, but to me at the time it meant I'm not the horrible person that I've been thinking I had been all these many years. And it was such a freeing moment to go, maybe I'm not so bad. Now, when I came to C-HAL has a wonderful program of sponsorship where we, as it says in our tools, we are all sponsored according to the same guidelines. And I remember in my very first meeting, There were not a lot of sponsors available. There was really just one guy. And when I said afterwards, can you be my sponsor? He said, well, you know, I don't usually take women as sponsees, but I'll get you started. And so he was my sponsor for all of, I think, 3 days until I found another sponsor. But what he gave me were the basics of the program. I remember that first night when I was saying, what? I have to make phone calls and I have to go to 3 meetings and I'm very, very busy. And he said very clearly, if you want what we have, you do what we do and you need to do all 7 tools. And I said, okay. And so again, his role as a sponsor in my life spoke to me, and he gave me guidelines that I didn't have on my own. I had tried all my life to manage my food, and I was not able to. And yet here is somebody that freely gave, for no money at all, gave me guidelines, passed along what he had been given, and gave me guidelines that have stood me in tremendous safety every day since. I have made my phone calls. I have made 3 live phone calls every day for the last 13 years because that's what my sponsor said. If you want what we have, you do what we do. And I wanted what you guys had. And so I did that. So my sponsor gave me guidelines about what to follow. Now, since then, I've had the same sponsor for 13 years. I look back and I say, what's the most significant thing that my sponsor has ever said to me? And I can tell you there's been many wonderful things, but the thing that stands out more than anything has been, Roberta, you are so hard on yourself. She has said that to me probably 50 times in the last 13 years, and it's very true. It is very true. I came in thinking that I had to be perfect in every aspect of my life, not just see how, but in my job and in my marriage and in my friendships and in my music and in, you know, fill in the blank. And because I'm not perfect, it created such anxiety. Oh, my gosh, it's so troubling. And she would always say, Roberta, you're so hard on yourself. And it was shocking to me. I'm like, well, what do you mean? I should be hard on myself. I should be. I shouldn't be. I should. And so I was grateful that my question today actually had to do with which is harder for you, to forgive yourself or others. And my answer for today was, man, I used to be so hard on myself that it was much easier to forgive others. It was hard to forgive me. But now I'm so grateful because little by little, the questions and the way God works in this program, I am much less hard on myself. And so I'm grateful to be in that position. I still do have high standards, excuse me, but I accept the fact that in my humanity, I am perfectly imperfect, and so is everybody else. And so it takes the pressure off. So that's, excuse me, one thing that my sponsor said that stands out, which is, Roberta, you're so hard on yourself. Now, the other thing I want to share about things my sponsor said to me, when I first got this assignment that I had to say something, I thought, well, let me go back to my journals and see what my sponsor has said. So let me step back a little bit and give you a little window into my world. Every day, I write down, I have little notebooks, and my notebooks, these are they're probably 4 inches by 6 inch notebooks, and they're lined, and they have, you know, really nice covers. Some have flowers, some have, you know, designs, some are colorful. So I have literally these little notebooks going back for 13 years. So I have a whole shelf full of them. And I went back, and I just flipped through the pages, and each little booklet has probably, I don't know, it's 4 months worth of writing typically. And usually on the left-hand side of my little notebook, I write down my plan for the day. This is the food I'm planning on eating. And I put 4 little boxes to say, who did I call, my sponsor, and then who are the people I called. Then I have a little box to say, did I do a meeting? And then I keep track of things like, did I work out? How many hours of sleep did I have? How much water did I drink? And then on the right-hand side, I write out what my question is and what my answer is. So it's just a little quirk in my personality. It's what I do. So I flipped through this. So I flipped through a couple of my books. Now, when I do my question, I'll write down my question on the right-hand side and my answer. And when I read it to my sponsor in my morning call, sometimes my sponsor says something. And sometimes it is so profound that I write down what my sponsor said. So I actually went back, and so I want to read you some of these. And I was looking at it again this morning. So one of the ones, the question isn't really isn't really relevant. But one of the things she said one day as I was sharing, all she said was, you are very troubled by all of this. And it was true, I was. And she was just acknowledging that I was very troubled. Another time, after I'd read my answer, and she said, in response, she said, forgive the person I was, accept the person I am, and believe in the person I'm becoming. And I'm like, oh, that's so profound. And I wrote that down. Another time she wrote, it's a different notebook now, I wrote my answer, and she said, "That is a beautiful prayer." And on another day, she said, "Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing." And then another book, I'll open up. She said, again, I flagged these ahead of time. Another time she said, "You are 100% human." And another time when I was writing, she said, she said, "I love you." My sponsor said she loved me. Another time she said, "That's the best thing to do." Another time, my sponsor said, I was writing about, the question was about discipline. My sponsor said, "You are one of the most disciplined people I've ever met." I wrote that down. I am. Another time, my sponsor said, "God's in charge." And I said, "Thank you." And my sponsor said, "I love you." And another time, this was my favorite one, this was my last one, I was writing, this was like, I didn't even know what my question was, but my answer was, "Chris Pratt reminds me a lot of my husband." And my sponsor said, "Oh, you know what, your husband reminds me of," and then she mentioned a particular actor, "and I like it that my sponsor knows me. We've been to convention together. My husband went one time with to convention, and so my sponsor knows my husband and knows well enough," although I would probably say at the time, my husband reminded me of Chris Pratt. Thank you so much. All tricked out. He's probably more the earlier Chris Pratt when he's a little chubby. But anyway, I digress. All that to say, that's a fast 10 minutes. In a lot of ways, what my sponsor has shared with me is that I'm loved and accepted, and that is the most profound thing in the world to me. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Roberta. And I will just say, if you want the phone numbers of anybody, email phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com. Our second speaker today is Sean from North Carolina. Sean, are you there?
I am.
I turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. And I will set shelf time. My name is Sean, and I am a compulsive eater. I learned about CHOW in June of 2014, shortly after the death of my father. I emailed a young woman who lived in Los Angeles, eager to learn more about CHOW. I had never heard of this program. She emailed me back and shared her story with me. She told me she had been abstinent from sugar and flour for 3 years. I could not imagine giving up sugar and flour. Are you kidding me? As I was grieving the loss of my dad, she told me to reach out to her when I was ready to give the program a try. She didn't push me or try to convince me. I needed to start right now. I loved her for that. After I finished eating compulsively that entire summer, I reached out to her and started my abstinence on September the 4th, 2014. This kind, gentle, and encouraging young woman became my very first CHOW sponsor. She taught me that wisdom has nothing to do with age. I'm older than her mother, yet she taught me so much about recovery. I'll never forget the time she gently encouraged me to try cooking my meals at home instead of eating out at restaurants. She said I might find it easier to know exactly what's in my meals and to learn how to weigh and measure my food. It never occurred to me to eat at home. I always ate in restaurants or got takeout. This was completely new to me. Now I rarely eat away from home. She sponsored me for a year without us ever meeting in person. I was on the East Coast. She was on the West Coast. When I went to my very first CHOW convention in Los Angeles in 2015, we met for the first time, and it was a special moment. It's like we had been friends for a lifetime. I had very serious health problems in 2015. I found out I had cancer. I found out I had Crohn's disease all at the same time. And although I never left the rooms of CHOW, I had a very hard time sticking to the food plan. Now looking back and where I am in my recovery now and looking back on that, I see that I was in my disease and used my illness to eat compulsively. I know today that I can eat abstinently under all health conditions if I have the willingness. That's why we have medical abstinence. When I had the willingness to recommit, I had a sponsor who sponsored me through the inventory questions. What I remember most from her is every time I read an answer to one of my four-step questions, she would say, "How does this make you feel?" It was refreshing to hear myself talk about my feelings and have someone listen without judgment. It's hard when you have to leave a sponsor because they can't sponsor you at the next level. But I always do my best to follow the program as it is written. My next sponsor was a full-service sponsor. What she taught me most was self-honesty. She encouraged me to identify the textures and the taste of foods that trigger my disease. I should know the foods that make me want to eat more and leave them out of my food plan, even if they're allowed on CHOW's food plan. This is how she is able to maintain a 100-pound weight loss and stays in maintenance. She also shared with me about slipping and sliding and not telling anyone, which is exactly what I ended up doing, and she called me out on it too. When I went on a trip to Las Vegas and thought that was an excuse to not make my daily call to her and commit my food, she told me, "I don't know what kind of sponsoring you called that, but that is not the way I sponsor." I never called her again. I have made amends to her since then, and we are very, very good friends. We laugh about it now, but I was in relapse. When I recommitted my abstinence yet again, I got a no-nonsense sponsor. She was just what I needed at that time. I told her that one of my sponsors once told me that I couldn't do this program perfectly. She asked me, "What does that mean?" I couldn't answer her. I've thought a lot about that question since then. How does one work the CHOW program in a not-so-perfect way? Perhaps I might not work all seven tools every day as required. For me, tool number one has to be perfect. I need to plan and commit my food, weigh and measure everything. I should aim to do that as perfect as I can. But there have been times when my abstinence has been challenged. Here, my sponsor tells me that my intention is what we need to look at. Was my intention to maintain my abstinence the best I could or to eat compulsively? My current sponsor has been abstinent for 27 years. When she first started sponsoring me, I asked her, "How in the world have you stayed abstinent that long?" And she answered, "One day at a time, just like we're doing." Some of the key takeaways I have gotten from this 2.5-year sponsorship relationship are, it is much easier to stay abstinent than it is to get abstinent. I remember that one a lot. It's much easier to stay abstinent than it is to get abstinent. If something is bothering you, you need to write about it. So I don't even call her with a problem until, you know, I'm like, okay, I know she's going to say, pull out that paper. So I just go ahead and start writing. Another thing she says is the slip happened 2 weeks before you actually picked up the food. Go back and look at what was happening emotionally 2 weeks prior to the slip. Here's another one. If you don't make abstinence the most important thing in your life, you will not achieve long-term abstinence. It needs to rank equal or higher than alcohol and other drugs for you. I used to feel that, oh, I would never take a drink or, you know, cocaine or any of those drugs. But with food, it's not going to be as devastating if I slip. I'll just recommit. I had to get the idea out of my head in order to put some days together. I had to get that out of my head. Food is a drug for me, and it can lead me right back to alcohol and other drugs. And then another thing she says,
2 minutes.
When I'm upset about something, she says, what's underneath what you're feeling? What is underneath? Another thing, I'm in maintenance, and my weekly weigh-ins are just information. That's all. Nothing to get all excited about, just information. And the other one is you cannot sponsor your friends. Don't even think about it. Can't sponsor friends. And the last one was keep your outreach calls focused on recovery. She also taught me a prayer that we close our call with every day. Had never heard this prayer before. It's God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Grant us patience with the changes that take time, and appreciation for all that we have and are, compassion for those with different struggles, and the strength to get up and try again, one day at a time. I never thought I would be able to memorize that prayer. I used to read it as we prayed, but after more than 2 years of praying that prayer with her, I now know it by heart. I am so grateful for the love and support I have been given in this fellowship by the women who have given their time so freely to me, asking for nothing in return but to see me grow and recover from compulsive eating. And for that, I am immensely grateful. Thank you for allowing me to share. And Elaine, thank you so much for asking me.
Thank you, Sean. Our third speaker today, right from Texas. Right, are you on the line? Well, we'll give Wright some time to get together, and we'll move to our next speaker, who is Loretta from New Jersey. Loretta, are you on the line?
Hi, yes, Elaine, thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me to be a speaker here. And thank all the other speakers. I've learned so much already. I'd like to ask you to say a quick prayer with me all. I'm going to ask God to put in my mouth the words that will help someone here today and to open people's ears to hear something that might be helpful. Just a little bit of background. I'm 22 years back-to-back HOW abstinent, the last 2 years in CHOW. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor, and I'm maintaining about a 60-pound weight loss. In addition, I'm in three other 12-step fellowships, so I am 12-step at my ears, but it works for me. 18 years ago, I moved to a different part of the state where there were no HOW meetings, and three times I started HOW meetings. It was OA HOW at that time. Each time, regular OA people started controversy enough for the meetings to break up. I was only able to stay abstinent because I was daily connected to my sponsor and a sponsee, and we have been together for 20 years. They were my fellowship while I explored many different phone meetings, but nothing really fit until about 2.5 years ago I found CHOW. Thank you, God. And I lurked for about 6 months before committing. Now, my share is going to be a composite of things I've learned from sponsors over the years. But before I even begin, I just want to express how grateful I am to my CHOW sponsors who made it possible for me to transition to CHOW. When I first joined CHOW, I was really resistant to the readings and the writings being based around answering questions. And my first sponsor granted me the freedom to change any question that was not meaningful to me and make it meaningful to me. And that helped tremendously. However, after some time, I was still having problems thinking about answering questions, you know, for the rest of my life. And another later sponsor, after checking in up the line with her sponsor, granted me the freedom to read on program literature and write my reflections on what I had read. And that's been working so well for me. So what I learned from these sponsors is how important it is to be sensitive to the needs of sponsees Although in See How we all sponsor from the same guidelines, there's still room within those guidelines to allow some flexibility, rather than make a one size must exactly fit all. And I'm so grateful to these sponsors because they allowed me full entry into See How, and I'm just so thrilled to be here. I got abstinent in the New York metropolitan area where How meetings were very large, and I was very shy. And my first sponsor gave me the service position of being the greeter. I had to stand at the door and greet everybody as they walked in, and that helped. Then, as time went by, that she taught me to look for people who don't know anyone and introduce them to others, try to get them to feel comfortable before the meeting. And this was a tremendous help for me to get out of myself and into thinking of others. And in fact, I still use this to this day. If I'm going to an event, I'm single, I have no escort, I'm at a wedding or something, I look for the most uncomfortable person in the room and go talk to them. And I usually talk to them about being uncomfortable. And that breaks the ice and helps me, and hopefully it helps them too. Things that I've learned from sponsors are wonderful prayers, and so many of them are paraphrases of things that are in the big book. One of my favorite prayers is, God, please use my life to show the miracles that you can do, where the very mess of my life became an asset. I mean, you know, that you know, certainly I couldn't get fixed, or, you know, it's just... My life is an example of the miracles that God can do. And also the prayer that I love that I learned from my sponsor was whenever speaking, whether speaking in front of a group or speaking to a sponsor or speaking at a meeting, always say a quick prayer. Put your love in my heart and put your words in my mouth. And let me be an instrument of you. When it was time to sponsor, I didn't think I was ready to sponsor. And I was also active at that time in two other fellowships. I didn't think I had time to sponsor. Well, my sponsor made it very clear to me that she would only continue sponsoring me if I sponsored others. This is part of the deal, whether I feel like I'm ready or not. And she said, you know, she taught me so much about sponsoring. She said, it doesn't matter if you don't feel you're ready to sponsor. You cannot do it wrong. As long as you stay close to the program literature and only tell your own experience, you can't do it wrong. We don't give advice. We don't tell other people what to do. We only tell what we do to stay abstinent. I had trouble in the beginning sponsoring people that had more history than me. You know, they're trying to tell me how other sponsors did it. My Lance sponsor did it like this and that. My sponsor assured me she would help me learn how to sponsor. And above all, to remember that I'm abstinent and they're not. And the bottom line is, if you want what we have, you must do what we do. And if you're not willing to do what I do, there's nothing in the world I can do to help you. And maybe you need to find somebody else, because if you're not willing to do what I do, there's not a thing I can do. I don't give pep talks. I don't try to convince anybody. I just say, this is what I do. My sponsor also taught me that sponsoring should only be uplifting. If I was uncomfortable, if I was feeling resentful, then it was because I had not made clear-cut boundaries. I learned to ask some basic questions before agreeing to sponsor someone. If you want to work with me, then this is what I require. Are you willing to do these things? And my basic questions are to follow the food plan without argument or exception or, you know, anything like that. Just accept and follow the food plan. Are you willing to do all 7 tools daily? And I list the tools and how I require them to be worked, which is how I work them. And I say with clarity what consequences will be. For example, if you miss calling at your scheduled time 2 days in a row, I'm going to give the time away to someone else. And the third question is, are you willing to sponsor when you're eligible to sponsor, not when you feel ready to sponsor? And as long as I stick to those two questions, I and sponsors agree, yes, that these are things that they're willing to do, I also always have found sponsoring to be uplifting. And inspirational. Through sponsoring, I developed such respect for a sponsee amending a very difficult relationship in her life. She inspired me to do the same level of amending with difficult family relationships in my life. She so inspired me that she helped my own immense work. And through the 12 steps, the healing in my family that happened through the process of living amends for me is absolutely miraculous. My sponsor taught me and emphasized to amend means to change, not to say I'm sorry. Don't say I'm sorry, I never loved you, I only resented you. My goodness, you hurt somebody if you say things like that. Just change behavior. Some examples of amends with my family members. I had one family member. He always made me the butt of his jokes. My part in this upset was that my expectations of how a family member should treat me. But he simply was not going to treat me the way I wanted him to treat me. So the best I could do is protect myself.
2 minutes.
Thank you. I learned to prepare before family gatherings, think of topics to distract him, get him to talk about himself, and leave me alone. I could leave the table, go play with the kids, remove myself, not take the bait. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the biggest miracle of my life, another family member. There were abusive things as a child. I mean, my problem, my resentments were not like neurotic fantasies. I mean, you know, they were really abusive things. But my sponsor taught me as a child, I have no part. But as an adult, my part was inflaming the memories by replaying them in my head and my discussions. The big book says to pray for those who have injured us. So my sponsor taught me how to meditate with pictures of this person with my grandkids on her lap. She taught me you cannot hold love and hatred in your heart at the same time. Ask God to give me a compassionate, forgiving heart. Also, to meditate with pictures of this person as a young child, wondering what happened in life to change her from a sweet, innocent child to the person she was with me. My seventh step. I had to make prayers for each individual person. My prayer for this person was, God, you know how she gets under my skin. Please help me not show it on my face and my body language and my tone of voice. Help me listen to her like I listen to my best friend. And God, please give her the love she needs, but it can't be from me right now. Eventually, I moved to a different part of the state. She eventually joined North Jersey HOW, and she got the love she needed from that fellowship with phone calls and rides. And she heard other people have a positive opinion to me, which contradicted her negative opinion of me. And we had, at 80 years of age, she did the steps to the best of her ability. I was doing the same. We had a reconciliation that was indeed miraculous. We really enjoyed each other the last 10 years of her life. And this, to me, is the biggest miracle of recovery. My sponsor always said the proof that 12-step recovery works, the proof that it works, is the healing that happens in families. And that is what has happened to me. So that is my experience from what things I've learned from various sponsors. This is Loretta from New Jersey. And
Thank you so much. I want to be sure we don't have phone numbers. No, I just wanted to be sure you didn't have your phone number.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you, Loretta.
Okay.
Right, are you on the line at this point?
I am.
Great. Then you can take over and tell us your experience, strength, and hope around the wisdom of your sponsor.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's a great honor to be a part of the CHOW program for me, and it was an interesting and difficult beginning. I'd reached a point in my life where I had I couldn't tie my shoes. There was heart disease in my family, and my behavior toward food was. It was just out of control. So I had been complaining about a doctor telling me that get ready, you're gonna be on 13 to 17 pills a day. You're gonna be on insulin. It's coming towards you. Just keep your behavior up, and you need to lose weight. I was complaining about it, and the person knew. A guy that had lost a bunch of weight and was maintaining the loss, and so I took the phone number and kept it in my wallet for a couple of weeks, and I had a men's group that was meeting at a 24-hour diner kind of a deal in the evenings, and after I'd finished my meal and the meeting, I was completely miserable. And I thought, well, I'm going to call this guy up because maybe he's got something that can help me. And I got in my truck and I made the phone call. And his name was Norm. I said, Norm, my name's Wright, and I was told you might know something about losing weight or maintaining weight, or I'm not sure what you got going on. And I said, but before we talk, I just wanted you to know that I'm sitting in the parking lot of a diner. And he said, well, are you going in or are you coming out? And I said, well, I just came out. I just finished. He goes, well, it's no use for me to talk to you right now. He said, if you want to talk to me about it, then call me tomorrow morning at about 6:30. I thought, well, no, I don't know if I really want to do that. He said, if you wanted to hear what I have to say, then you call me tomorrow morning at 6:30. And pretty much I called him every day for the next 13 or 14 years. And so let me qualify real quickly. I volunteered for this program in 2006. I recommitted my abstinence on 11/27/16 on a food step and inventory sponsor. And I've been given the miracle of recovery inside of a 12-step program for compulsive eating. So, you know, when I joined, I couldn't tie my shoes, and then as I called him and developed a program of slowing down my mind, body, and spirit, and, you know, one of the things I didn't realize that I was before I started the program was that I was anxious, that I had anxiety, and working through the first 30-day questions and working through the working with the tools and the program, you know, one of the things I really discovered was that I had compulsive DNA, and I refer to that as damn near anything, and I was definitely on a binge of lots of different aspects in my life, and so see how it's taught me to slow down and to take care of to disconnect from all the things and sit down and write my food out and to work my program. And so my first sponsor, Norm, was really a very gentle person. He allowed me lots of space, and he gave me his experience of strength and hope, and so he taught me all sorts of ways of looking at food, how to, you know, we talked about behavior, we talked about boundaries, I learned about, you know, the boundaries are more than just about food. It's about learning to share, when to share, when not to share, inappropriate sharing, you know. He gave me some clear information about the program is really about food and trying to build a lifestyle that has a healthy point of view for you, for me. He was there. My program, my mother passed away in the middle of this program. I was nearly in bankruptcy for a while. I went through a divorce through this program. And I've always found that sticking with the tools and committing to the program has been the guiding principle of my behavior. And I have, my sponsor passed away. He had surgery, and it was not a success. He had some complications, and I got to experienced the loss of a sponsor that was, you know, part of my everyday life. It was a pretty rough time. My current sponsor is a lovely man that is a very gentle, and he has good boundaries. He's taught me things like weighing and measuring is sacred. Weighing and measuring, it's he refers to it as action prayers. So I love the image of that. That gives me the acronym of guidance. The acronym of guidance for me is God, You, and I Dance. And so life really has been more like a symphony, an art form, than it was a hard, brutal rugby match. You know, it's more of a chess match now. And so I've really experienced firm leadership and firm love. And one of the things that recently came to be in my sponsee relationship was someone suggested to him a structure. So my daily structure, I printed something and saved it in my phone. It's called the five G's, daily G's. And so the first G is grateful for. I write about the daily things that I was grateful for the day before. The second thing is good at. What was something I was good at yesterday? So I get to write a positive affirmation. The next one is a glitch. You know, what was my glitch from yesterday? The third item is God's help, how I use my higher power to help me with something yesterday. And then the fourth one is my goal. And usually that's where I write down my whole hope for goals. And I also write down my food plan underneath goals. And so it gives me a real balance of time and energy, and it makes me disconnect from all the crazy that I have. It allows me to have boundaries of food, boundaries of people, boundaries of time. So I'm just, you know, I'm really carrying a lot of gratitude for what See How has done for me. That's what I got.
Thank you so much, Wright. And now we're going to move from Texas to Victoria, Canada. And Jane, are you on the line?
I sure am, Elaine. Thank you.
Take it away.
Okay. First off, thank you for inviting me to do this. Wow, I've really enjoyed everything I've heard so far. I may not need the whole 10 minutes, as I haven't been in See How very long. And I'm a little bit limited, perhaps, in sharing some of what's been passed on, but I'll hit the highlights as best I can. So one of the first things when I came in was my questioning of the necessity of these pesky, annoying, controlling seven tools, which was how my disease was interpreting all of these quote-unquote rules. And one of the things my sponsor encouraged me to do was to think critically about why they might be important and what these tools could do for me, you know, to have some faith that they're there for a reason and what is it, you know? And with that, it was a game changer for me. I realized that outreach is about connection. And I know that the opposite of an addiction is an intimate connection. And when framed in that light, reaching out to people or receiving their outreach and engaging in present moment with, you know, whatever's happening for that person or whatever's happening with me, really, my choice is to go into food and compulsive eating were ways that I could reliably feel a sense of comfort and connection that I was actually really wanting from other people. I was just too afraid and out of practice. So these outreach calls, these three per day by design, break that trance of compulsivity in addictive, harmful eating and put it back in its right place, which is connection to myself and to other people through that intimate dialogue and sharing. The tool of reading and writing, again, isn't so much a chore, but a way to engage my higher mind, my higher self, or my higher power, however I want to interpret that. To me, they're one and the same. Sitting to read and write engages my prefrontal cortex. It gets me out of fight, flight, and freezing, and into my higher values, my life purpose, and my present moment reality. Pleasant or unpleasant, it brings me back into the moment. Reading and writing break the spell of runaway reactions that I'm habituated to as an active addict. Weighing and measuring my food keeps me safe, keeps me honest, keeps me contained, and keeps my mind chatter and anxiety calm. It ensures to me that I'm eating enough to support my body and mind so that I can be instrumental in the world. It also prevents conscious or unconscious overeating, which takes me into dissociation, self-harm. Listening to my body and mind about what is or isn't a trigger food for me as I consciously eat my weight and measured foods. Which foods give me energy? Which make me sleepy? Which ones cause gas or bloating? Which ones cause cravings? And just because it's in the food plan does not mean it's okay for me. We are all bio-individual, and that is why medical abstinence is a primary tool that's written down and recognized and upheld in CHEL. Meetings. Meetings, again, are all about connection. They're also about being part of a larger whole, belonging to a tribe, being accountable, showing up, exercising discipline. It's fundamental to my sense of belonging. Service is also all about connection, being part of a tribe, and taking action. Oftentimes, having a service commitment is the, it's what's kept me abstinent and helps me to change my state. I know while we've been in quarantine and the Zoom meetings have been going on, I have a Zoom account and I am hosting several meetings. And there's often times where I think I'm not in the mood, quote unquote, and yet stepping up to do that commitment moves me into a more adult place, a calmer place, a grateful place, and a connected place, oftentimes when I didn't even know I wasn't there. The service is critical. And sponsorship is also about connection, and it is about compassionate leadership, learning how to hold space for another person and having the focus truly be on them, their experience. And how can I be there to hold a loving space for them with compassion, empathy, and curiosity? And ultimately, all of these tools, all of these seven tools are about action. With the disease of addiction, we don't think or feel our way into new behaviors, ever. We must act our way into new thoughts and feelings. Another thing I've learned from my sponsors, or a sponsor, I should say, is if I'm feeling shameful or guilty about engaging in my addictive behaviors, either past or present, that is evidence I have not accepted that I am powerless. It means I have not accepted step one, if I have guilt or shame around acting in an addiction, it means I think I actually have control, that I actually have a choice. And an addiction is a habitual reflex. It's like crossing my arms the way I cross them. I don't think about it. I just do it automatically. And that's a tangible example of what powerless looks and feels like. And if I consciously go and try to cross my arms the opposite way, if anyone would like to try this in real time right now, this would be a good exercise. I cross my arms the way I normally do. I feel comfortable. I feel unconscious. I do them the opposite way. And boy, is that ever uncomfortable. I get anxious. I'm crawling out of my skin to release my arms and go back to something more comfortable. That's what treating an addiction, thank you, looks like and feels like. It requires mindful attention, practice, and reprogramming. I do not need to feel guilty and shameful about crossing my arms the way I cross them. And it's okay that I feel anxious and that it takes effort for me to learn to do it another way. And finally, I learned that why questions are never helpful for me or anyone else. Why engenders shame. It takes me up into my head and has me look for reasons and has me be wrong or right. And in my case, it's usually feeling wrong. What is fundamentally helpful is asking myself and others what questions or how questions. So if I have a sponsee sharing something with me, and I feel myself tighten or I feel a charge in my body, if I'm afraid, that usually means I'm afraid, I want to argue or disagree or fix or correct or educate them. Instead, I can take a conscious breath and say, huh, that's very interesting. Please tell me more. What's important about that for you? How does this affect you? How do you feel? What's the payoff? What's working? What's not working? Most importantly, perhaps, what are you learning? And how can I be a supportive service to you? Those are all questions that I've learned through being in this program and working with various sponsors and with sponsoring others.
Time.
I hope that's been helpful. And again, my name's Jane in Victoria, and I will not leave my phone number. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jane. And now we're going to zip across the continent again, and this time we're going to hear from Joan in Virginia. Joan, are you there?
I sure am, Elaine. Thank you so much for putting this all together, and I'm just honored to have been asked to be a part of this. I put a lot of thought into what I was going to say and asked God to help guide my words, and it just really gave me an opportunity to reflect on how important it's been over the last year and a half that I've been in CHOW to have a sponsor to guide me. I came into program in November of 2018, and I had a wonderful sponsor. I just got on a call, and this woman left her number, and there we were. It was just perfect. And we worked together for maybe about 4 months, and she guided me through the first 30 days, and then we got into the inventory questions. And then for a number of reasons, she was no longer able to sponsor me, and I was just devastated. I realized that I had put a lot of dependence on her, and I felt like my rudder was gone and wasn't sure how to proceed. And I can't even remember how I found my next and present sponsor, but it must have been a God thing because, here we are all these many months later. When I first started working with this new sponsor, I was really shy. I had gone through, you know, those initial 30-day questions and then moved into the inventory. And so this, my first sponsor knew part of my backstory, and my new sponsor didn't know anything about me. And I mean, here I am sharing these really deeply personal things with someone that I really hadn't formed a relationship with. However, she was very kind and patient and assured me all along the way, reminding me always if I felt stuck or if I kind of held back or felt shy, to ask God to guide me and to learn how to trust the process. Sometimes the questions would get pretty heavy, and while she expects me to do my writing every day, she realizes that there are times when a pause is in order, and she also has me do the 5 G's, maybe a day or two or three of those, just to kind of regroup, and it really gave me the time and space that I needed to do this very important work. I didn't realize when I first came in to see how and we hear this all the time about how a minor the food issue became and how important the other issues that led to the food would become. And so it was really important for me to be able to take my time and do what I needed to do and to have a sponsor who would give me the space to do that. Her message always is always to trust in God. And this is kind of a funny thing. Our spiritual paths are like they're as different as night and day. Yet what's so beautiful about our paths is that they both lead to God, and that God is so very important in both of our lives. And so I'm able to use my spiritual program in my way and take the grace of her spiritual program, and just to know that, you know, it's all about God. And she reminds me several times a week just to be willing, to pray to God for willingness. And when she first suggested that I pray for willingness, I'm sure my response was, okay, I'll do that. And it was like, what? I didn't really understand how that worked. And so probably after she told me 50 times, I started to just say, God, I don't know why I'm stuck here, but would you help me to be willing to take the next step? And all of a sudden, these miracles began happening because I was taking the next step. I wasn't rushed or hurried along, but the footsteps started moving forward, and I felt the miracle of this program begin to unfold. I'm really fortunate to have a sponsor who knows the 12 steps in the big book. It amazes me how we'll come to a little bump in the road or something, and she'll say, you know, it helps me when I read pages blah, blah, blah in the big book. And I'm thinking, she knows every page in this big book. I don't understand this. And so sure enough, I'll read those pages and there's the answer. And she doesn't preach to me about it or just spout off these quotes. She suggests that I look at the passage or whatever it is, and we can talk about it later, but I really appreciate that I'm now learning about the big book and more about the program. Another thing that she says to me that I just love, and now I say this to anybody who will listen to me, she reminds me to ask God to show me the next right thing. And that's really important for me because my tendency is to try to figure out the entire scenario, to like organize it in my head, figure it out, and then do it. But I'm learning now that this one day at a time business doesn't really allow that in a graceful way. And to just figure out what the next right thing is, it's like looking at one thing. It doesn't have to be this huge task. And it allows me to get unstuck slowly with God's help, so that there's just much more of a sense to things. Just ask God to show me the next right thing. And again, such an amazing journey when, you know, I'll be moving along my day and there's the next right thing and it just happens. My sponsor is also notorious for helping me to remember to take care of my own business. And she uses the analogy of just focusing on what's within my hula hoop, that anything beyond that is not my business. And on those occasions when I kind of forget that, she'll say, well, just remember your own hula hoop. And so I don't have to go any further. I know exactly what that means. As I moved along in my inventory and I was making amends, I came to some places where I felt just overwhelming shame and sadness, and I had questions about my worthiness, given some of the issues from my past. And some of these things were really hard to look at. But my sponsor reminded me that I can look at the past as a miracle of what the past is, and to be able to have no regrets. And now, since I've moved through my steps, I really get what that means. It means I can just be okay where I am, and that the past was a miracle that got me to where I am now. And I guess the last thing I want to say is that my sponsor has given me her time, her most precious gift, and she's told me funny things that I share with my family, and she shared some of her experiences and hope, and, you know, when it's appropriate, she's used her teacher voice, and she's just kept me on the straight and narrow and always encouraged me. And there's two things that she's taught me beyond all things, and she didn't teach me this with words, she taught me with her actions. And that's always to be kind and compassionate. I've never had a phone call with my sponsor that I haven't left the call feeling that I just want to be my very best, because she encourages that in me. She has taught me how to love myself and taught me how to be a good person. And I knew these things on an intellectual basis, but I really didn't know them in my heart. And I'm learning them at 73. I'm learning them in my heart, and I will be forever grateful for the part that my sponsor has played in my recovery and my life. And I thank you so much for the time spent on this workshop. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan. And then our last planned speaker, we'll then open it up to everybody. It's Susan from Oakland. Susan, are you on the line?
I am, and I'm assuming I can be heard.
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Hi, I'm Susan, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I have so enjoyed hearing what others have shared, reminding me of much of the wisdom that I have gotten along the way. To qualify, I'm 60 years old. My abstinence began on September 2nd, 2007, and I'm maintaining a 60-pound weight loss. I came into program willing, hopeful, and really pushing back on the spiritual aspect of the program. And one of the early things my sponsor offered to me was take what is meaningful from that reading, what does speak to you. We don't have to talk about the negative, what you're rejecting. Just pull a word, a phrase, a sentence, and look, and focus on that. I'm hearing some kitchen noise, so if you can mute yourself, please. And that was such a gift that she gave me, because it shifted my orientation from one of rejection and defiance and defensiveness against that which did not speak to me, to one of invitation to find the pathway, the opening that would allow me to think beyond my limited thoughts. And that was the start of my spiritual awakening. So other things that she offered me were to keep it simple. You know, I am an addict, and as an addict, I'm addicted to drama and chaos even. That lights me up. And this program has taught me that that does not serve me. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Another thing that she offered me, this was my first sponsor, was her belief was that the aim was to become neutral around my food. And I have become neutral around my food. It, you know, it does not mean that I don't love each of my meals. And, you know, and I'll say I work full-time, and so I prepare my meals, cook my food over the weekend, and I'm eating leftovers throughout the week. And I love every single meal. I'm still a food addict. I'm still a compulsive eater. And yet there is a neutrality around my food. My business is to have an abstinent meal, have the food choices be what shows up in the Forever Abstinent book, and to put it on the scale. I mostly use the scale and measure when that's appropriate, and then be in loving acceptance of this meal as it is and be grateful for it. Another thing with the food prep is she taught me to rinse off my utensils. I put my protein on the plate, and if I'm going to be using that utensil, if I've used the utensil and using it again for the next portioning thing, I rinse it off. And if I'm going to, once I'm done weighing and measuring my food, if I'm using a utensil that I've used to get it on my plate, I'm going to rinse it off and have a clean utensil to eat my food. And, you know, that is a level of specificity, but it was a way of saying the scale tells me when it's at point zero, the exactly committed amount. And just be clean about my food, about my weight and measured food. So that's a practice I have. So as I began my spiritual journey, I started to practice, and this was really practicing and trying out and acting as if prayer or request. The first one was where this knowledge came up or this information. Well, I take a step back. So putting out a prayer or a request, there are one of three answers. One is yes, here you go. One is not now. And the last one is I've got something better for you. And actually, when I heard that third possibility, my mind kind of got blown out. I was like, Whoa. Because it means, you know, it's not, my thoughts are limited, and my ideas of possibilities are really limited. And that, yeah, that was a mind-blowing one for me. And it helped me open up to the bigness of higher power. The other piece of that was the not now, that second option, was life doesn't happen on my timeline. I want something now, or maybe I can put it off for a little bit, but come on, pretty soon. But that's not necessarily how it's going to unfold. And this showed up very distinctly when I really had enough with that first sponsor, who was just so militant in the way that she sponsored and the way she did her program. And every time I came up against, this just isn't working for me, and I'd say, I need to find a new sponsor, I would put it out during my meditation. That was when I would ask about it. And I came to recognize that not hearing an answer was an answer. It was the not now. And I, you know, did that for months when I came up against yet another thing. And finally, that person, that next person appeared, and I jumped on it. I was ready, and I jumped on it, and I began the next level, the next chapter of my recovery happened. When I gave my fifth step to my first sponsor, when I was, you know, truly committed, I had a history of the not fully committed and did fifth steps, but, you know, it wasn't whole because I was holding back. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Giving the fifth step was I got loving acceptance from her, and I got the message, me too. I've experienced these things. I've done these things. You are not alone. So that was part, and I kept on getting the lesson of loving compassion, starting with myself. I was completely lacking in compassion for myself. And once I was able to start practicing that, so much opened up for me in being connected both to myself and to other people. So I'm going to skip way down. I took just some bullet point notes. Doing service, doing service, doing service. So start out just reading those readings where you don't need any kind of abstinence. Get up there. It doesn't matter how nervous you are. I mean, it was miserable for me, but I did it. And then once I was available, share at meetings, say yes to being a speaker, go to the business meetings, be a meeting leader, literature person, treasurer, sponsor, the message sponsor, you know, with sponsor, you can only sponsor to your level of recovery. And if you don't know the answer, say, I'll get back to you, and then ask your sponsor or ask other trusted fellows. And then moving beyond the meeting level, go to your intergroup meetings, become an intergroup rep, step up to do service at the intergroup level, then become an area rep. And that meant I was going to have the chance to be a delegate at the business conference. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to. It was so disruptive to my work life, but I recognized the need for that service. And I went, a couple minutes,
Thank you.
So sorry, guys. So I went to that first business conference, and I saw the love and work that had come before I had gotten there to make CHOW a vibrant organization, and the thought that went into the things that were disseminated from World Service. And I was in. And then the next thing I had to do is I had to commit to the committees that I was assigned to and continue to do service during that following year, and then show up to the next conference and then heard the call to be a board member, which, again, didn't have the time to do, but said yes to it anyway. And I need to just tell you, we are the board. The board is part of the we of CHOW. We are fellows in recovery. We are not them. And it's an inverted pyramid, and we and the board is at the bottom of that hierarchy. It's the members in the group that's at the top, and it's all a part of the whole. The board and World Service takes the traditions to heart at every step of the way, and I just want to say service is an completely important part of each of our recovery, and I encourage each of you, as I've been encouraged all along the way, to step up and even challenge yourself to step up just a little bit above where you feel comfortable. Consider it. Be open to it. Have the intention that you will try that. And then be careful about not overcommitting, because that's another part. Learning our boundaries. Learning what is an appropriate level of service. Thank you so much. I'll just say I'm Susan from Oakland, California, and I am so grateful for this workshop.
Thank you, Susan, Joan, Jane, Wright, Loretta, Sean, Roberta. My heart is just overflowing with appreciation and joy for all that I've heard. And now, for those of you who came late to the workshop, Elaine from Portland is the facilitator. And now we open it up to hear your stories, the wisdom you have received from your sponsor. We'll have 3-minute time shares, and I'll give you a 1-minute warning. And so is there someone who would like to share their experience, strength, and hope and wisdom of their sponsor?
Hi, it's Adele.
Thanks, Adele. Go ahead.
Thanks, Elaine. Thanks to everybody that spoke today. Oh, my God. I want to crosstalk. The service part. I remember somebody asked me to be an intergroup rep. I was like, no. And then they finally had to step up to be an intergroup rep. And then she asked me to be area. And it's like, and so, you know, I go to my sponsor, and my sponsor's big on service. I mean, really big on service. And so I finally did that, and then I didn't know about being a delegate, and, you know, we talked, and she said, you know, go and sit in on the conference. And so I went to the convention early on a Friday, and went on into the conference and seen how they did it, and, you know, I fell in love with it. And you know, this year you guys get a chance to listen to it over whatever, however they're going to do it on the 24th of July. I'll just throw that out there. And you don't even have to leave your own house to see how the conference go. And also, whenever I hear something like when I call people and they tell me they're going to count this as the outreach call. This, you know, I talk to, you know, I know for a fact, and I tell my sponsees, you have to make the phone call. You cannot receive a phone call. The fourth tool is you make four calls a day. And so so I'm just grateful that, you know, we have these 7 tools, and I can always refer to them. Any of my sponsors always refer me to the book, and I have a book in my bedroom for elder absence and a book in my living room, and I can, you know, just pick it up. You know, we try to find whatever answer in the book, because, you know, everything is in the book. And I think that's all I have to share. I'm kind of distracted with my head and stuff, but I am just so grateful that I came into this workshop today, and I'll mute.
Thank you so much, Adele. Is there someone else who would like to share? Press *6 to unmute.
It's Elaine, it's Cheryl W. May I share?
Please go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you, Elaine, and thank you for all the speakers. Just the gratitude that you guys have experienced for the sponsorship that you've had. And I was taking notes all throughout the workshop, so I got a lot out of it. A lot of stuff that my sponsors have told me, and just the spirit of sponsorship. For me, when I'm talking with my sponsor, I know that that's a place where I can be myself. I can open up my heart and tell about my triumphs and my difficulties. I was always the one that did not want to share. I was so afraid to share what I was really like, or about my mistakes or my insecurities or my shames or whatever, because I was so afraid. But I've been blessed to have sponsors all throughout my recovery, and my sponsor now, who really creates a safe space for me where I can tell her everything, anything. I can ask questions, I can share my questions, and her direction helps me when I'm sponsoring myself. And I try to sponsor with kindness and compassion that I get from my sponsor. I love the fact that there is a place that I can go and talk and just be without judgment. No judgment, not afraid of judgment, don't think there's going to be any judgment. And well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the shares of today. Each person spoke from the heart. I could feel it through the phone line.
And 1 minute.
With that, Cheryl W., thank you very much, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Cheryl. Is there someone else who would like to share?
Paul from New York.
Go ahead, Paul.
I'll keep it brief, and I'll keep it a positive. One of the things that I was grateful to hear was that there was a male speaker on the board, on your group. I really do. And I know that I spent a lot of time pushing for that. But I also hope and pray that in other, workshops, that we get to hear other people diverse, that we don't always get to hear. So I'm going to go back to my original, message was, my sponsor, my first one, one of the things that he shared with me was, when in doubt, leave it out. And one of the things that was also shared is, what's appropriate and what's not. But I just sometimes find for myself, I'm kind of lost in that, experience right now of what is right and what is wrong. But I do feel that there's such a diverse group in CHOW. So if you've never shared on a panel, you've never gotten your hand up ever, do it. It really makes a difference. We can get people to the delegates and being all those things, but you got to start the early beginnings. And also, one of the other things that my sponsor did was, right off the bat, when I had the 30-day questions and I was stepped up, was to get a sponsee. And I'm very grateful. I don't always have the luxury of that in other programs, but I do have sponsees. And they come, they go, and unfortunately, the world as it is has gotten a lot of fear in some of my current sponsees, and they've walked. But I'm so grateful for the many, many people that are counting days and past, 7 and 10 days and moving on and getting 30 days and 31 and 32. It's just a day at a time, and grateful to claim my seat. Paul from New York.
Thank you, Paul. Is there somebody else who would like to share the wisdom of their sponsors, stories your sponsor told you that have helped you?
This is Cheryl, compulsive eater.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone that shared and spoke. It was absolutely wonderful. Things my sponsor said or did or helped me get through life. There was one sponsor that I had for a very long time, and no matter what I said, no matter what dramas I was putting out there, and no matter how ranting and raving I was, how much I was ranting, she was calm. She was very calm. She'd listen, and then she'd have her wise words of wisdom in the same monotone, and it was so calming, it was, this too shall pass, or let's sit and talk about it, let's think about it, let's meditate, and not getting into that drama with me. And that was so wonderful, because when I hung up the phone, I was at peace, quiet, and thinking about what she said, and not going back into that frenzied thinking. So, you know, just to be able to be, and I try to emulate that. You know, I try as a sponsor to do the same thing and listen. And I'm one of those sponsors that doesn't like to interfere with someone's reading, and, you know, they'll give me the questions, and I might respond with, you know, that was good, beautiful, or not. I wouldn't say anything or not. But I don't give much comment. I always feel that person, it's their writing, it's their story, it's their life. Do I need to comment? If they ask for it, you know, do they want to hear how I would deal with a certain thing or how I do deal with something? Yes. That's just my way of sponsoring. But on the other hand, I love when my sponsor does participate and does comment. And I have a wonderful sponsor today. First of all, she's taught me how to meditate at a much higher level. Never did that as well. Stop, be still, and breathe. Be still and breathe. And to me, that's it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful tool that I never really put into practice. And so I do that, you know, because I'll still get riled up and, you know, even though it's a character defect I'm working on, I'll stop and I'll listen to her words will be in my head. Stop.
1 minute.
Pause. Thank you so much. And that works for me tremendously. I've also had a situation where I sponsored people, and yes, some left, many left. There was one time when I had three sponsors leaving. I used to sponsor 7 or 8 people at a time, and there were 3 that left within the 2-week time span, and I go, this is me. This is about me. I'm doing something wrong. Something's happening. It's what am I doing wrong? And I got really upset. And she said, no, they're not ready. They have their higher power. It's their program. You cannot work their program for them. Let it go. Let it go. And so that was the lesson I learned from her, that it's not about me. You know, I can just relate with program. My job, my purpose in program is just to give back that which I receive at the same level. Just repeat what I was told. Just, you know, listen and you know, if you want what I have, you need to do
time.
What I do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl from New York. Is there somebody else who would like to share their wisdom from their sponsor, or stories your sponsor told you that were helpful?
Hi,
this is Sheila B. Sheila B.
Go ahead.
Take it away. Go ahead, Sheila.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine. Hi, this is Sheila B. from Aurora, Colorado. And I'd say when I originally came into 12-step programs in the 70s, which was only OA and Gray Sheet, okay, and then did that and was successful and went on and on and on and moved a lot. Anyways, so I came to Colorado and I ended up seeing a little blurb in the paper and it said, CEA, how? You know, call us. So I guess I was at that point saying, okay, well, I haven't tried that one. Let's go for that one. And I came into CEA how and got a sponsor, a very, very strong person and program. She lost 100 pounds, and we started off together. And we have like three meetings here, and one or so was good for me that I could go, and so I did go with her, you know, so I knew I had to really toe the mark. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I could fool somebody, you know, say, okay, I'm fine, you know. But being in person, you know, does give it a different spin. So came in with her and did very well and lost the weight and did the program. And, I mean, she was great. And it was really good. And then I started going to Florida for the winters. And then at that time, there wasn't many meetings at all around. So that wasn't good. And so I wasn't good. And then come back and 5 months later, you know, and come back in the springtime and get back into it again, you know. And anyways, I learned a lot from her. And in fact, she ended up moving out of Colorado. And it was very good. It was a really good experience because she was very strong and I needed someone strong. I needed someone really strong, you know. So anyways, that was that. And then I've had other sponsors and stuff. Today, I'm back in and I'm on day 140 by the grace of God and my higher power. and my sponsor. And
1 minute.
Today I have a sponsor that really, I love her. I just do. I love her dearly. And, you know, I just was drowning in anonymity, and I decided, okay, I put it, turned it over to God, and I did something, and that's when I was out for a day, came back in, and I got her for a sponsor, and we just clicked, and she had what I wanted. She had what I wanted, and I needed someone that was really going to be, every day I speak to my sponsor, sometimes I'll get on, she'll say, good morning, and I'll say, yeah. I'm not a good, I didn't sleep good last night. The time I get off the phone with my sponsor, I'm laughing. We're laughing together. We're laughing together. You know, and it's just so special. So special. And, you know, she told me, I have one spot open. Oh, thank you. She said, I have one spot open, and this is the time. Early in the morning, I says, oh, my God. I thought, I got to think about it. And I thought about it for half an hour. And I said, you know what? Am I willing to go to any lengths? You bet I am at this point in my life. And that I called her up, and I says, okay, that's it, fine. And then we've traveled the road together. I can't believe, though, I have to say I did the flip questions, and I didn't want to do that. And I did them. I have learned, and I have grown so much because of those questions. Thank you very much for letting me share. I'm ready to give my phone number. I know we don't. Oh, thank you, Elaine, for your service. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sheila B.
This is Beth. Can I share?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Continue. Thank you. Sorry to jump in there. I wasn't sure if you need. Did you need to talk more, Elaine?
No, that was Janann saying, could I be next?
Okay. This is Best Compulsive Eater. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. I feel like this is a love fest for our sponsors. That makes me wonder how much do we tell our sponsors that we appreciate them. I probably don't tell my sponsor enough. At the same time, we're all in this together. A sponsor is not somebody who's elevated on a pedestal or somebody for me to become dependent on for my recovery. We're just fellows together. The only requirement for sponsors is to, you know, meet the sponsor recommendations and requirements of 30 days and then inventory and maintenance. I'm curious, just putting it out there, maybe one day we'll have a service sponsor that would not necessarily be dependent on the number of days of abstinence, but necessarily on some of the different services they've experienced. I know some people do work with a, quote, service sponsor. It's not an official sponsor type, but that might be a really fabulous way to really strengthen our service and our program by having mentors, because I think so much of service is scary. And if I had a service sponsor, that person could mentor me and encourage me, because so much of our service is done because somebody asked us to do it. I don't necessarily jump up and volunteer. I'm so grateful for my sponsor because she really helps me to pause and look at things a little more neutrally. And there's somebody unmuted. It sounds like there's some TV going on in the background. And by being neutral, looking at things, somebody could say something in front of both me and my husband. And
1 minute.
Thank you. And we would take it both very different ways or have much different meaning read into it. And so when I pause and look at, okay, what is my button? What is my trigger? What am I attached to? I can continue to peel back those layers and see what else is going on rather than just at the surface of anger and reaction. And so she tells me frequently, you know, Our program tells us to shift our attitudes and perceptions. And I've come up with a little acronym called SHAPE. The program shapes me, shifting my attitude and perceptions. There's an extra E on the end. You can do perception of my expectations. And so when I pause and try to, well, I too want to just figure it out. I want to have all the answers. I don't, so I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gail. I'm Gail from Las Vegas. I have a question for the first speaker. I think her name was Roberta. How can I contact her?
I'm sorry.
Hello?
Did you ask who is this?
My name is Gail, and I'm from Las Vegas. And I have a question for the first speaker. Since they didn't announce telephone numbers today, is there a way for me to contact her?
I am having a hard time understanding what you're saying. If you have a question,
she would like a way to contact you.
Oh, yes. All right. So, yes, if you would like to contact me or anybody who has spoken today, please write phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com, and I can give you the information that you're looking for. I hope that's helpful. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Sure. What we're sharing on right now are the wisdom that we have gotten from our sponsors. What are the stories, the guidelines? What has your sponsor contributed to your recovery? Is there someone else who would like to share?
Janann would like to share.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. I was thinking of my sponsors over the time I've been in CHOW, Janann in Oklahoma, and I remember the overarching message I got from my first sponsor. Well, in the first place, when I went to my first meeting, she's the one that told me, you need to get a sponsor before you leave the meeting. So that was the best instruction I got in my life, I think. But the overarching message I got from her in many, many ways was, our God is a God of grace. And I was constantly comparing myself to other people in program, and I was on the phone bridge a lot, and I would hear people, and I would think, oh, gosh, I'll never get there. How come they're that way? Why do they know so much? And she would just say, you know, to me, you're focused on the food right now, but it is about the food until it's not about the food. Just be patient. And I remember that so well, that message. And as time went on, I did mature and develop and learn more. Another thing my sponsor tells me a lot, I've had, I guess, three sponsors, four, is this phrase, even though, and because I can really get down on myself and do so much self-criticism, and so she will say, even though you did this or you had this problem, you're still a loved and treasured and cherished child of God. So that's a phrase that I use a lot to help me get through tough times. And the other thing I want to say is something a sponsee taught me. One of my early sponsees came up with the phrase, weighing is praying. And I made a sticker of that, weighing is praying. She said, weighing is praying, measuring is surrender. And I made those stickers to put on my scale. And I was reminded of that today from someone I was talking to on outreach, how meaningful that little phrase has been to so many. And I've heard other references to things very similar to that today in our workshop. Weighing is praying, measuring is surrender.
1 minute. So,
I am finished. I'm Janann in Oklahoma. Thank you.
Thank you, Janann. If there's someone else who would like to share their wisdom that they've gotten from their sponsor.
This is Jane. May I share?
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for everyone on this workshop. It is just amazing. I'm Jan from Arizona, compulsive eater. And I was thinking back. I've had in my 15 and a half years of abstinence, I have had four different sponsors, and each one I owe a great debt of gratitude because I've learned from each one something, you know, and I'm thinking back, what is the one significant thing that I learned from each one? And the first one, a couple of things from the first one. I learned what loving kindness is, And I learned how to stay prepared, what it takes excuse me, to maintain abstinence. Unfortunately, I had to learn by watching her slip because she wasn't prepared, and I learned that, okay, I'm just as vulnerable, and this is what I have to do. This has saved my abstinence many times by being prepared, carrying stuff with me. My next sponsor was... what I learned from her was to how to start over again. If I didn't get it the first time, it's okay to do it again. It's like I have the rest of my life to do this, so it's okay. I don't have to rush through it. And I ended up doing an inventory a second time because that's what I needed. And she helped me learn. To be as compassionate with myself as I am with others, to be as kind and loving with myself as I am with others, because it was real tough. You know, I had a habit of beating myself up all the time. And my next sponsor, I had her for 12 years, and I learned so much. She walked me through so many different aspects of my illness, my addictions, my recovery, and so many different areas. I ended up changing some time ago only because
1 minute.
My food choices had changed. I decided to go plant-based, and my sponsor wasn't able to guide me through that, but I still owe her a great debt of gratitude. I learned how to take care of myself. And that was a big thing because I didn't know how to do that. And so my current sponsor we click, we're working together. She is guiding me in a way that I really need to be guided at this point in my elderly life. And so on that, I will, we learn from each sponsor that we have, and we can learn so much and pass it on. That's the great part about this recovery program. I get to pass on what I'm learning. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jan. Is there somebody else who would like to share the wisdom they've received from their sponsor? Press star 6 to unmute.
Hi, Ken. This is Liz.
Thanks, Liz. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Liz. I'm a food addict. And there are two significant sponsors in my life, my current and my very first sponsor. When I first came into this program, it was 1999. I came in, and I came in through over binge eating, but mostly it was bulimia, you know. And she was not, but I was in New York, and I went to a Saturday morning meeting, and I left with her as my sponsor. And I don't even know how I ended up in these rooms, although coming from a sister program. But you know, she ran through the food plan with me, like carbs, this, that, that, and what to eat. And I remember just absolutely being completely overwhelmed with the fact that, you know, I had gained weight and I had to eat. I couldn't comprehend this, and no idea what a carb was, no idea how to eat. Literally, no idea how to eat, because for so many years I just starved myself, and I broke down and I cried on 33rd Street in New York City. I just cried. And she took me by the hand and literally brought me to the supermarket and threw all the food in my cart and broke it down like I was a child. How this is what you do. You know, that's the level I was really a child learning how to eat for the first time at the age of probably 30-something or whatever. And she was really, she was on me. She was all over me just to keep me active And I'll be forever grateful to her for taking me food shopping. The current sponsor I have, the biggest thing that comes to mind to me is the structure and discipline. I had about 10 years absence. Thank you. I had about 10 years of absence, was out for a while, and by the grace of God, I'm back just a little over 100 days. But my current sponsor teaches me the value of structure and discipline, and that when I was out there on my own knowing this food program, but that I missed that so much. I can fight it at times, you know, but that's just my disease and I'm not working with my higher power. But the structure and discipline is what keeps me sane, and she's got it, and that's what attracts me to her and why I, you know, live each day with her. She's got it nice and deep and really, she really very, anyway, so that's what I it's amazing, you know, to give it away, and I'm just so grateful right now, and thank you for letting me share. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Is there somebody else who would like to share? We've been talking about wisdom of our sponsors.
Hello, yes, Elaine. Hi, this is Jeanette Compulsive Eater Food Addict. I'd like to share.
Could you repeat your name?
Jeanette,
go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. I want to thank everybody that shared, and the speakers really helped me a lot. I've been in the program a long time. I came to Ohio OA in 1981, and I had many sponsors in 88. And my sponsors, really, they all have been really helpful, good. Recently, I had one sponsor told me to, you know, I had slipped, and she said to go home and take everything out of your cupboard that's not on a food plan and get away, throw away, don't have this in your house. When your kids, somebody come by, might buy them something, but when they leave, take it with them. And also, my sponsor that another spouse I had, and I moved out to the desert. There's no face meetings out here. And so my old sponsor told me, well, you need to get to the phone bridge. She had been telling me that before, but I wouldn't listen. And I'm just so thankful that I did listen to her and got connected to the phone bridge, because I used to think that people other end of the line, they look like they could be eating anything, but the phone bridge has given me a lot of more strength and abstinence, you know, it's more. And I know it works. And the sponsor I have today, she's been with me for years. And like I said, with me, because she, you know, I had, you know, she's loving and kind. And I had, like, wanted to argue with her about things, about food plan I was on. And she just listened and told me, no, you can't do this. This is how it works, you know. And I, you know, got my high will. I said, well, I just won't do the food plan. And got out the program, but I came back, and she was willing to take me back. She always, you know, listened carefully to what I have to say, and she catches me on when I do something, when I have done something in the past. She catches me and like, no, Jeanette, this is not the way it is. You didn't, this is not the protein or that. And also, it's good. I learned to be forgiving. She taught me how to love and forgive, because I used to be, when I was a sponsor, first sponsor, and people haven't called me there, you're out, you know.
One minute.
I came back and made amends to my sponsor. She sent me back. And, you know, all my sponsors really been there to help me. And I'm back. I've got, thank you for timing. And I'm just grateful and thankful for everybody, because you all have helped me. You know, this is the easier, softer way, and I got to listen and let go. Let God be directing my life one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Jeanette. Is there somebody else who would like to share? We have been sharing on the wisdom given to us from our sponsors. Anybody else? Well, not hearing a clamor, I would first like to thank our presenters today, Roberta from California, Sean from North Carolina, Loretta from New Jersey, Wright from Texas, Jane from Victoria, Canada, Joan from Virginia, Susan from Oakland. I would also like to thank the people who shared afterwards, Adela, Cheryl, Paul, Cheryl again, Sheila B., Beth, Janan, Dan from Arizona, Liz, and Danette. And before we leave each other, I'd like to read something from one of our books. It's called Sponsoring in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How. And it's from the beginning, chapter one. And it says, as a sponsor in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, the How program, you've undoubtedly experienced the benefits of recovery. When we abstain from compulsive eating, work the steps and tools, and carry the message to our fellows, we enjoy not only freedom from food obsession, but also, as the See How concept tells us, happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. Our recovery gives us the ability to help other compulsive eaters when no one can. As it says in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 89, you can secure their confidence when others fail. Not only can we help others, we must. It's our 12th step of recovery. So I especially want to express just heartfelt appreciation for everything that has been shared on this meeting. There will be, we've been making a recording of this this workshop that eventually will be available online. And so to close it out, would you unmute and join me in the Serenity Prayer?
God.
Now grant me the serenity
to accept the dreams that I cannot change. I cannot change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. The difference. Thy will. Amen.
Amen. And again, if you would like to...